Good morning. Great to see you here. My name is Tavis. I'm 10 a.m. minister, and it's just a wonderful opportunity this morning to gather and to be encouraged by God's word. So let me pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word to encourage us and to help us understand your purposes. And we just ask, Lord, that you would be with us now and help us to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we finish our series on church vision, extending friendship, transforming lives, and relying totally on Jesus. So hopefully it's now embedding in your brain. Because it's a good thing that we're all together and working together in these important things. So how do we live this vision in the next season? Well, in preparation for committing to the church vision later in the service, we're going to reflect on Philippians chapter 4, where Paul thanks the Philippians for sending financial gifts to support him while he was in prison. And in doing so, Paul strikes a balance between two things, where on one hand, he wants to communicate appreciation for the gifts. Paul does this by saying he rejoices greatly in the Lord, and at last you renewed your concern for me. And he recounts their aid to him when he was in Thessalonica and then later to him through Epaphroditus. But on the other, Paul doesn't want to give the impression that he's only grateful for their concern because his needs are provided for. That Paul's only interested in them because of the help that they can give him. Like that person who has nothing to do with you, but when they need something from you, they're suddenly your best friend. Paul is not like that. So Paul shares how he has learned to be content, whatever the circumstances, that his needs are met through God, and shares of his desire for more to be credited to the Philippians' account than himself. So Paul's striking a balance between implicitly giving thanks for the Philippians for their gifts and explicitly giving thanks to God, who is the true source of all gifts. And importantly, Paul focuses on the relationship with God and the Philippians in this, rather than the joy of just the material aid. And so how Paul talks about the Philippian gift in spiritual terms is helpful for us as we think today about our response to the church vision, which requires similar acts of service of us for God. I believe it gives us some foundational ways of thinking when we can work together for God. So in that light, I want to draw out three key aspects of what Paul is saying. The Philippian giving was an act of partnership in gospel ministry, worship to God, and reliance on God's power. So first, Paul rejoices greatly in the Lord for the Philippians' partnership in gospel ministry. He says, "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." The Greek word for concern here is used by Paul 10 times in this letter for a way of thinking, to set one's mind on or to think of. The same word is used when he talks of having the same mind of Christ, to be like-minded. It's used by Paul here with a relational aspect. The Philippians thought of Paul, currently in prison, and showed their concern for him by sending him financial gifts to support him. Paul views this concern and gift as a sharing in his troubles. He says, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles." So Paul here is leaning into language of being like-minded and shared concerned, what I call partnership language, seeing himself and the Philippian church as partners in this gospel ministry. And note, he's not only sent the gift, but also sends gospel worker Epaphroditus to Paul, who no doubt was a personal encouragement and practical help to him. Now, isn't this a true act of gospel partnership? The Philippian church heard of Paul's hardship and provided a financial gift and one of their church members. And when we look out for each other and express our common concern for one another, we demonstrate our partnership in gospel ministry too. Now, the Vision Series has so far been really positive. I've heard good reports on how people have received Adam's talks, and people are starting to know what this vision is. But some of us, as we hear the vision, may feel reluctant to commit or put our whole heart into it. Perhaps there's a lack of trust. Perhaps you've been disappointed or let down by our church or another church in the past. I know I've been there. There's been more than one occasion when the church in the past has really let me down. But the church is always, in every age, has been full of imperfect people. The thing to start is where you are. Trust is earned. So if your affection and trust is low for the church, then I encourage you to begin in a small way. But do begin and do not give up on the church, which Christ died for and which is God's chosen vehicle to bring light into our dark world. So first, we're to demonstrate our gospel concern for one another as partners in gospel ministry. And this is what our church vision is about. It's about working together as we seek to do God's work in extending friendship, transforming lives, and relying totally on Jesus. Second, Paul describes the gifts from the Philippians as worship to God. Now he says in verse 18, "I have received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." I think this is a wonderful way to describe it. So in other parts of the Bible, we might think of prayer as worship to God. But here, this act of giving, this act of service is of worship. A fragrant offering, a gift which rises heavenward, acceptable sacrifice. The financial gifts from the Philippians were a sacrifice, a costly and generous. On Wednesdays, we're currently doing the Journey of Generosity course, a fantastic course worth doing. I love the stories of generosity. We've had stories from India and also the Philippines. But I also love hearing from each of the group members how generosity has impacted their own life. It's a great reminder that it doesn't matter how rich you are, we all have an opportunity to be generous to others and to make a difference in God's world. And isn't it encouraging that the gifts that we give on Sunday to God or throughout the week and the different ways we serve, whether that be on welcoming or sound or the flowers or with the singing or as a Kids Hope mentor or serving down at the op shop or the Cormorant crew looking after the campsite throughout the year, they're just great opportunities to serve others, but more importantly, to serve God. And it's really important to think about how we serve in gospel ministry in terms of worship to God. It helps to keep the focus of our service on God. We often think, don't we, that serving in the church often is just about getting jobs done. However, particularly this second point draws out the spiritual importance of any job and in giving to the offering. Acts of service given with the right heart are pleasing to God. Gifts which God not only accepts, but takes delight in. So to those of us who may feel perhaps at first a little perhaps indifferent to the church vision, know that your acts of service are pleasing worship to God. And how can we be indifferent to the vision when we know the spiritual value of extending friendship to others, bringing that transformation and praying in dependence on God? God is not indifferent to our service. The good news is that God accepts our sacrifice and is pleased with it. So our acts of service demonstrate our partnership in the gospel and our worship to God, but also, third, demonstrate our reliance on God's power. It seems a little odd for Paul to share that he's learned the secret to being content while thanking the Philippians for their gifts to help him in his time of need. Does he need them or does he not? However, he wants them to remind them of their true source of strength and provision, which is God. Verse 13, great verse. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul wants them to know that we can have peace and joy and contentment even when enduring hunger and hardship or in times of plenty. For even a person who is well fed can feel hard done by or even desiring of more. Paul wants them to know that he's learned to be content by being in Christ in any and every situation, by being focused on his relationship with Christ and not based on his changing circumstances. And later, this reliance on God beyond present circumstances is affirmed in verse 19 when he writes, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." So as we commit to our church vision today, it would be easy to fall into thinking that this can be achieved in our own efforts. So the warning to the overzealous among us, who love God and want to see our church and God's mission go forward, is to be reminded that our acts of service are always reliant on God's power. Even as Paul seeks to remind the Philippians of his source of hope and strength and to encourage them that God is the provider. So let us not in our enthusiasm try to persuade others to acts of service which will exhaust or cause ourselves and others to burn out. Our church has lots of great outlets to serve, but this can pose a challenge for the overzealous. Let us be reminded that God is the true provider, and we can find contentment in our ministry being in relationship with God. Whether we're stretched to capacity or if our ministry is going in leaps and bounds, our success will always be in God's strength and timing. We're to keep coming to God for strength for our daily needs. As Jesus says in John 14:14, "You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." So abide in the Holy Spirit and keep him as our help and guide as we start this year. Let me finish by encouraging all of us to faithful giving and service in the coming year. I want to encourage you that acts of service demonstrate our partnership in gospel ministry of our church. Our acts of service are our worship to God. And sacrificial service demonstrate our faith and reliance on God's power. Over the last year, I've seen us as a congregation already leaning into the kinds of things in our vision. I've spoken to a number of people the last year who have joined because when they first turned up, people talk to them over morning tea and saw what great things we're doing in our local community and in our aged care ministry during the week, or at Revive Youth, mainly music, so many different ways, I can see that we are extending friendship to others. I've seen lives transformed through the ministry of our camping ministry, both in terms of community that's created, but also families that respond to teaching in how to read the Bible, such as Lectio Divina. At 10 a.m., we've been privileged to hear some challenging and uplifting testimonies of what God is doing in people's lives, which in turn inspires us to face challenges with the same faith. So, and I've seen us as a congregation respond to the fire early last year with prayer and fasting, demonstrating our reliance on God. And I believe we've moved forward without getting stuck in anxiousness or worry. And I'm just so glad and excited to see things nearly finished in the foyer and the kitchen. It's all taking shape. So I mention all these things not to say that we don't have any work to do, but to say that I'm excited here at 10 how much God has already been doing in our midst. And I just want to just encourage you and ask you, will you be a part of this? Will you own our vision as your vision? So as a way of practical application, an invitation to step forward in our vision, I'm going to ask Adam to come up, and we're going to commission our leaders and have an opportunity to show our support as a church community. But let me pray for us as we do. Thank you, Lord, for your saints of the past who have worked together, pouring out their lives to you in acts of sacrificial worship and reliant on your almighty power. Please help us to respond to your love and for your glory. Amen.